Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. That's right. You can give him some praise. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you for what you've done in our lives, God. Hallelujah. We have one verse tonight to read before you sit down. Mark 8:18. If you have your Bibles or want to use the screen or your phones or tablets, whatever you got. Mark 8:18. And it says this. Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? All right, you can be seated. The child proofed that water, I think. Okay. We have a video we're going to start with, actually. I want to start with a video. So before we start the video, I just tricked her. Before we start with the video, today is the last day of our 3 days of prayer and fasting. How many people were at some point during the 3 days able to do some sort of fasting in connection with God? That's awesome. That's awesome. When we go to do the next one, my goal is to have like a Wednesday night Bible study where we can do a more in-depth study on fasting and talk through it and make sense of it and make it practical for you. But hopefully God is speaking to you in those moments. The weaker we are, the stronger he is sometimes. So, okay, praise God. I'm happy for that. Let's play this video. Pretty cool. They have a lot of videos like that. That's not me. It's by the Bible Project. That's what they have. If you do YouTube videos explaining parts of the Bible, it's mostly really good. I really like their videos. But it's a good picture to hear to talk about the Shema. They actually have one video for each word in that first verse in the Shema. We read Mark 8:18, having eyes do you not see and having ears do you not hear. This is Jesus quoting the prophets. And it's interesting to me that in Deuteronomy 6:4, so often we quote that, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the first word is hear. There's a command to hear God. And it's not a once in a whatever command. In verse 3 of Genesis, it says, And God said, Let there be light. In the second to last verse of Revelations, it says, He who testifies to these things says, and it's in red, Surely I am coming quickly. From the very beginning to the very end of the Bible, God is speaking to us. He is speaking into his creation from the very beginning to the very end. And he's commanding us to listen, to hear, to respond. And so today I want to talk on this idea of hearing God. Hearing God. I'm going to share my thoughts. I'm going to share some thoughts from some books I've read, just a collection of different things. And so I'm excited, but it's also going to be different, I think. We're going to talk about hearing God. I think if we want to start with this conversation, and this could be a much longer Bible study, but we're going to do it in one night, we have to understand that God desires relationship with us. In John 15:15, it says, I don't call you servants any longer, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn you. This sounds like somebody that wants relationship. This sounds like somebody whose goal is to get to know us. In the Old Testament, we know that God spoke through the prophets. Only certain people then, also when they had the tabernacle and the temple, only the priests or the pastors could go into the Holy of Holies place, and they would represent God to the people, and God and also the people to God. But then Jesus came to earth. And he died, and the veil that separated the special place where God's presence was with everybody else was torn in two, symbolizing that we now have access to God. This God that wants relationship with us, we have access to. In fact, in John 17:3, salvation is described as relationship with God. It says, and this is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Salvation is having a relationship with God himself. So it is all about this relationship. It's all about this God who wants to be friends with us, who wants to have a close relationship with us. It isn't about having someone between you and God. You do not, I'm here for a reason. It's a good thing. You should listen to me. I shouldn't be the only person that I shouldn't be the only voice of God you hear. You should be hearing from God in your prayer times and in your Bible reading times. We have direct access to God, and he desires a relationship with us, so we should take advantage of it. In fact, Isaiah 58:9 says, these are the people that are doing right. Then you shall call on the Lord, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. The Lord will guide you continually. That sounds like a relationship. That sounds like someone who's wanting to be close to you, who wants to get to know you. And so the first point we have to understand is that God desires a relationship with us. So it makes sense that he would want a conversational relationship with him. That's what relationship is. I can't say I have a relationship with any of you if I never talk to you or listen to you. That's not a relationship. So if he's wanting a relationship with us, which we see in Scripture, then it makes sense that he would want that to be a conversational relationship where he is talking to us. Sorry, we are talking to him and he is talking to us. Speaking and listening. There's actually one of the books I read is called Hearing God by Dallas Willard. And he says, How could there be a personal relationship, a personal walk with God or anyone else without individual communication? If there's a God who wants relationship with us, we should be talking back and forth with him. We should be hearing from him. Because if God doesn't want a relationship with us, then why are we wasting our time? And if God does want a relationship, we should be actively looking to listen to what he's telling us, to try to understand, because communication isn't just talking. Prayer isn't just talking. Communication, I say this in our marriage things all the time, communication is talking and listening to understand. So we have a God who wants relationship with us, and he wants it to be a conversational relationship. The second thing I think about hearing God is that God is always speaking. He's not silent. We see it throughout his entire world, his entire word, that he is speaking to us. He's talking to us, and he wants us to hear him and respond to him. We see that God talks to us kind of through three main mediums, okay? One is the man of God, the word of God, and the spirit of God. Now, the man of God, that would be like a preacher, a pastor in your life, or a prophet that's there speaking, right? That's one example. But that shouldn't be the only way that God speaks to you. If this is the only time you feel that God is speaking to you in some thought or something in a message, like, you're missing out. God wants to speak to you in so many more ways. But the man of God could also be used as confirmation of what you're feeling, of what you're feeling in prayer, what you're reading in God's word. It could also be used as a continuation of a conversation with God. We'll get into that. The word of God, the Bible says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We hear God's voice in his word. So we hear it from the man of God, we hear it from the word of God, and lastly, we hear it from the spirit of God. In fact, we see this example in scripture in Acts 8:29. It says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. The pastor didn't say to Philip. The prophet didn't say to Philip. The Spirit said to Philip. Clearly, Philip had learned how to hear God. In Acts 13:2, it says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit is speaking, and they are listening. And so the third way that we hear from God is through his spirit, because the spirit of God that lives inside of us speaks to us. 1 John 2:26 says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, the Holy Spirit. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. God's spirit is inside of us teaching us. Now, I feel compelled to say this. I think sometimes you can take any one of these things in and of itself and go a little crazy. Like, this is what I'm feeling in my spirit. I'm not going to check it against the word. My pastor says it's wrong, but I'm just going to do what's in my spirit. Well, to me, that wouldn't make sense. They should all be saying the same thing. They're all God, right? They should confirm each other. Sometimes, you know, you read a verse. I've done this, and I've read it. I'm like, oh, I think this is what it means. And I start thinking about it. I might talk about it with somebody. And then somebody's like, no, that's not what it means. No, I think that's what it means. And then after talking with my pastor or talking with a leader or even in prayer, all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, that's not what that means. And it's through that confirmation process that we are starting to hear the voice of God, shaping what God is saying to us. And so the second thing I think about hearing God is that God is always speaking, and so if I'm not hearing from him, then that's on me. Right? That's on me. All throughout his word, he's speaking, he's talking to us, he wants to hear him. If I'm not hearing from God, that's on me. Which is not, hopefully, a condemning thought. I'm not trying to bring that idea. But it means that, okay, wait. That means I'm not waiting for some magical words to happen. I'm not waiting for this one instance, this one event where God is speaking. It's like, he's always speaking. So all I got to do is learn how to hear it. So see how we can take something and you could walk away saying, well, Peter said I'm not good enough because I'm just not hearing from God, and that's my fault and it's on me. You could leave that way. You could think that. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, we could flip our brain and see it the other way and say, like, wait, if God's always speaking, then the only thing stopping me is me hearing. I can work on that. That's something I can do. It's a perspective. We see from, I think a third thing when we talk about hearing God is that hearing God requires turning off other things. So if God is always speaking, why can't we hear him? I think, this is me, I think some reasons could include, one, that we haven't learned to hear his voice. And that's okay. We're all learning in life. We haven't learned to hear his voice. Think of the story of Samuel. We've talked about it a bunch. But Samuel, what did he need? He heard a voice, but he needed somebody to confirm. Yeah, oh, by the way, that's God. And I sometimes wonder if there are more nights like that in the future where there was a voice and Samuel ran over and was like, Eli, is that you? He said, no, it's God. Oh, yeah, it's God. And maybe 4 or 5 or 7 or 10 times down the road, Samuel wakes up and he goes, hold on. I think this one's God this time, right? But he learns it. So one of the reasons that we can't hear God is because we haven't learned to hear God. Another reason why we can't hear God is because we aren't listening. We're actively choosing not to hear God. And the third reason I think that we can't hear God is because we are hearing too many other things that drowned out God, so we cannot hear his voice. That's why Mark 8:18 says, having ears, do you not hear? I know your ears work. I know they hear sounds. Sometimes you need help. You need a speaker, headphones, or whatever. I know you can hear sounds, but you're not hearing my voice. So it's not about hearing God's voice, because his voice is always out there. It's about discerning God's voice. It's about knowing that God's voice is in here somewhere, and he's got stuff to say to me, but there's kind of stuff in the way. I think of Exodus 3:3 when Moses, he sees a burning bush, and what does he say? He says, I will turn aside. And then verse 4, it says, so when he turned aside to look, God called to him. I think this is a picture of something. Sometimes we need to turn away from things so that we can start hearing God's voice. It's almost like if you're wearing headphones, like those little earbuds, like I'm sure all you young people wear and all the old people are frustrated at, because I see this at work. You're wearing headphones and you walk up to them and be like, hey, how's it going? You're like, are you listening to something or are you not listening to something? I can't tell. No, it's like I got the transparent mode on, dude. Go ahead and talk. Come on. It's 2025, right? There's both sides to this, right? But you don't know. Sometimes, though, it's not transparent mode, and I've got it on, and one of the kids or Casey will come up to me and try to say something. It's like, I don't hear anything. I've got to take out these other things I'm listening to and put it aside if I'm going to start hearing from God. In fact, I almost see in this story a step where it says he turned, and then God called. It makes you wonder if God would have called had he not turned. It makes you wonder, this is just me, I'm interjecting some things here. It makes you wonder how far the proximity he was to that bush, and if by turning he could actually hear the voice, and if he wouldn't have turned, maybe God was still calling, but he couldn't hear it. We need to start turning aside from certain things in our lives. We have to stop listening to other things. And we have to make space for distractions to be sidelined. And we need to have focus and committed time with God. Life is busy. This is difficult. But it's what we need to do to hear from God. We need to turn aside from some things. Maybe there's some things in our schedule we got to turn aside from so we can carve out, create a little space that this is my time with God because I want to hear from God in my life. Maybe, just maybe, we're too distracted because maybe subconsciously or not, I don't know. We get distracted because we don't like the nudging God is giving us. Maybe God's saying, hey, you got to forgive that person. It's like, no, I don't like to even feel that thought of forgiveness. I'm going to just not listen to any voices. Maybe you're starting to feel this nudge in your spirit I should probably give this thing up. This thing's causing, nope, this is my comfort zone. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to distract myself so that I don't have to remove things in my life, so that I don't have to face any issues in my life or face the fear in my life or face the challenges or what God is trying to take me through. And so we do that, I think subconsciously, we just start like every time I think about this thing that's on my mind, it just gives me stress, and so I'm gonna go turn something on. I'm gonna flip the scroll button. Did you know that you scroll the height of the Statue of Liberty every day? The average person scrolls the height of the Statue of Liberty every day. It's crazy. Now, if it's your Bible app, maybe that's a good thing, right? I don't know, right? I read that somewhere. Don't quote me. But I seriously think that. I think that sometimes in life we surround ourselves with distractions because we're not comfortable with the thoughts that are in our minds or with the things the Spirit's trying to speak to us. And so what does it look like to hear from God? I'm going to caveat all of this. These are my ramblings. Okay? I'm not going verse by verse and proving that this isn't a verse. This is what I see in my life. And that's what I'm sharing. So I'm going to be very open and transparent with you. I hear from God when I am listening to the man of God. When I'm listening to sermons. Sometimes, there's a YouTube video with a good word. I'll watch that. Or a podcast where it's somebody sharing. I really like Kingdom Works and Biblos. Those are great podcasts. There's a whole bunch more out there, right? Where we're listening to the word of God. Sorry, to the man of God. When I take notes, I'm not saying everybody should take notes during service. I'm just saying that for me, sometimes I'll finish a podcast or I'll finish a video or a sermon and I'll just jot down, okay, what was the two or three things I want to make sure I remember? But I need to be careful that I'm not only hearing from God that way, like I said. Remember, God wants a relationship, a conversational relationship with you, with me. And so while it's good to hear from God through your pastor, that shouldn't be the only time you're hearing from God. I hear from God when I sit with him alone or talk to him in prayer. If I'm being honest with you, that one is usually like you'll see as I'm going through this, that one is usually like a building voice I hear from God. It's not super clear in that moment. It's not how it works for me. I hear from God when I talk about it with close friends or family members. It's so great to be talking through what you think you're reading or hearing from God with somebody, and the conversation grows and you're able to help each other by talking through some things. Or when you're so close to someone, maybe a spouse or a close friend, that you could say, this is what I'm thinking. They're like, could that be because of what you're going through right now? Maybe God's trying to speak this. You're like, oh, wow. Last week, me and my friend, we were talking, and there was just something that was on my heart, and I was struggling to put it into words, and I was praying. That's what I said. I was in prayer. I felt something there. I didn't know what it was. And I called, it was Justin Wall. I call him up, and we talk from time to time, and I'm like, okay, this help me work through this idea. And I started working through this idea. I said, you know, I believe sometimes we get holiness confused with separation. I think that we think holiness is separation. But I said, I think holiness is the fruit of separation. Holiness. And I was like, I don't know if that's right. It's just what I'm feeling. And so he talked through with me and he's throwing out verses. He's like, well, remember, therefore come out from among them and be ye separate. And I'll receive you and be a father to you. And Romans 12:2, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And so it was one of those ideas where it was kind of ruminating in my brain for some time, and I just let it out. And I'm like, hey, is this crazy? That's not what I've never heard it said this way before. It's the way my brain wants to make sense of it. Am I a nut job? And we just talked through it for about 20 minutes, and it was super cool. And it was in that moment that, yes, it was his voice and it was my voice, but in that moment, I felt the Spirit of God speaking to me. Yes, holiness should be the fruit of the separation that you are doing in your life. We talked 2 weeks ago about what remains, and we talked last week about creating space by starting to push some things out of your life that aren't doing you any good. And so as we begin to separate and as we begin to dedicate ourselves to God, we should become more holy. So, talking with a close friend or family member. I also hear from God or hear God when I am reading and meditating on his word. I've shared this before, probably a couple years back, but there's a practice called Lectio Divina. Have any people ever heard that? A few of you. Some of you did not pay attention 2 years ago. Lectio Divina is, I think it's Latin for divine word. And it's an ancient Christian practice. Don't get all spooked out because I said the word ancient, okay? It's an ancient Christian practice of prayerfully reading scripture to hear God's voice and deepen your understanding with him and your relationship with him. I came across this when I was going through some recovery groups because it was all about you need to read God's word and hear what he's saying instead of hearing what your brain is telling you. And so I came across it by this reading and meditating and thinking on God's word. And then I also, once again, it came out in this book that I was reading, Hearing God by Dallas Willard. And we you'll notice when I describe this, this is a very, we do this in the prayer meeting and you don't even know it. The goal in our prayer meetings is to take some time to read a couple small verses and see what God is speaking to you. So let's go through what this is. She has a slide she's going to put up on the screen for me. Okay. The first step in this divine word, this is for beginners. This was on a Christian mom's website for kids, so it's nice and simple. The first step is to read, to slowly read a passage of Scripture multiple times. What is it saying? What stands out? What do we do during the prayer meeting? Read through the Scripture multiple times. What's in it? What stands out? And can I just say right here, well, let's just break here. I am firmly for reading through the Bible. You should do that. I'm for reading through the Bible in the year. I've done the 90-day reading. That was torture. I heard of a guy that did the 30-day reading. I have no idea how he did that, read through the Bible in 30 days. Right? I've done a bunch of those. I am totally for those. I think what's important is a consistent in God's Word. Consistently being in God's Word. However, Dallas Willard has a quote that I really like. He said, "It is better in 1 year to have 10 good verses transferred into the substance of your life than to have every word of the Bible flash before your eyes." Just 10 verses. Now, don't go and say, okay, I'm going to read 10 verses for the rest of the year. That's not what we're talking about here. But the point is that if it's not impacting your heart, if you're not hearing from God when you read, then quit wasting your time. The goal is to hear from God. So first you read, then you meditate, you reflect on what God might be saying in this passage. You ask, what does this mean for me today? You start to internalize it. You pray, you respond to God in prayer, you share your thoughts and your feelings and your desires with Him, and you let prayer flow through your meditation on these verses. And then lastly, you contemplate. So you've read multiple times, you've tried to figure out what stands out to you, what the verse is saying. You've meditated, asking what it means to you specifically. You've prayed and shared your thoughts and feelings with God. You might have even journaled. And then you've contemplated, where you sit quietly in God's presence. You rest in Him without needing to think or to speak, but you're just being with God and letting Him work in your heart. So, I hear God when I'm listening to the man of God, when I sit with Him alone or talk to Him in prayer, when I talk about it with close friends or family members, when I am reading and meditating on God's Word. I hear God when I sit in silence or with my thoughts. Journaling is so valuable. So valuable. There are so many times where I will read a passage, whether it's my daily program, and I'll read 3 or 4 chapters or 2 chapters or 1 chapter, whatever it is, and I'll get done and I'll be like, that one verse, and I'll just start writing. Don't try to think what you're going to write. Just start writing. Okay, I'm just going to be transparent here. I'm going to read something from my journal a couple years back that I wrote after prayer and reading. This is just what I wrote down, okay? And you'll find this is familiar. Hearing from God is not on Him, it is on me. He is not silent. He is not holding back His word. He is talking to me. He wants me to hear Him. I'm choosing not to listen, or we are choosing to listen to other things. When we hear, it should compel me to act, to do something, to change. And that is not always easy or fun. Maybe that is why I'd rather be distracted, whether it's subconscious or not. To hear the voice, I must not be listening to other things. I must be willing to respond. Hearing from God is not always a single moment. Often, for me at least, it is a gradual revelation or understanding that occurs through a nagging discomfort in my spirit or emotions. It is when I sit and talk in silence, or when I talk about it in prayer, or when I talk about it with a class friend or spouse that after all that, I put all the seemingly random and growing thoughts together into a singular message God has been and is showing me. That was just some random day. This is not like there's a lot of trash in here, okay? But in that moment, when I read a verse and I was thinking about hearing from God and I started writing, it just poured out. That's kind of the substance of my message tonight. But when I sit with my thoughts and I journal and I think about what is God telling me. If you don't want to do the journal and talk about your feelings for the day and all that, fine, whatever, don't do that. Then journal what God's telling you. Be careful, though. You might be talking about your feelings. Yeah. So I hear God when I sit in silence with my thoughts. It could be short. Sometimes it's two lines. Sometimes it's a whole page. But just start. I highly recommend journaling. It helps you work through so many things in your mind. And so often my journals go from prayer and Bible reading to journaling to it just meshes in. I hear God when I'm going about my day with God in mind, taking time from distractions, creating space for him. I see God in nature sometimes. I remember one day it was raining and I just took a moment. I created some space and I was thinking, okay, what am I processing right now? I journaled this and I said, man, I hate rain. Rain's such an inconvenience. And I said, hold on, I just gotta take some breaths. What am I seeing? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? I'm saying, well, I see the rain. I hear the birds. I see the worms. I see the flowers. And it hit me that rain is an inconvenience and we work so hard to avoid it. We have carports. We have umbrellas, rain jackets, because it's such a pain and such an inconvenience. But rain helps things grow. And it brings up worms that birds eat. Bad for the worms, good for the birds. And so I started thinking, what are the inconveniences in my life that I'm avoiding with rain jackets and umbrellas that really would help me grow? And I see that because I'm sitting out with nature and looking at things. We can hear God through so many different things. And for me, I don't know how to describe this. Like I said, I'm just sharing me. All these things kind of combine. One day I'll have a conversation with a friend or with one of the other pastors, and the other day I'll be praying, and another day I'll be reading God's word, and one day I'll be journaling. And after a week or two, I'll be like, there's something just nagging at me. There's just like, I don't know what it is yet. And I'm going to keep reading, and I might ask somebody a question, and I start to see a theme or a pattern, and this nagging voice or this feeling nudging me to the right decision or the right way. That's how I hear from God. Hopefully you guys are all getting the burning bush and the loud voice. Jabin. Right? Hopefully that's what you guys are all experiencing. But that's not for me. That's not how it works for me. It's through this collection of moments where I am constantly thinking of and putting God in my life. That's why we talk about the importance of prayer and fasting and reading your Bible and blah. Yeah, they're important. Because it's these moments that we hear from God. And if you think... And there are single instances where you're going to hear God's voice. But by and large, we hear it as a collection, as this movement. And one day you wake up and you're like, that's what it is. I feel it now. I've been feeling this for 2 weeks. And you can put it on paper or you can say it. Say, this is what God's been speaking to me. And you know what? We see this in 1 Kings 19:11. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. I describe that as a nagging, an uneasy, some feeling inside of me that just, it's like it's got to be met somehow. It's not like some weird addiction. It's like there's something in there. So it's this nagging thought, this nagging feeling. Verse 13, so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I have a hard time believing he didn't hear the storm and the earthquake and the fire. He heard those. But he heard God in the still, small voice. And so we have to beware that we're trusting some immediate impression too quickly. I'm starting to feel something. This is God. I'm going to go start preaching it, telling everybody that they need to do. Let's let it percolate for a little bit. Let's let it sit. Sometimes that happens, but mostly discernment takes time. Knowing what God is telling you takes some time. And that's okay. It's not a single moment, but a gradual revelation or understanding that occurs through nagging or nudging or discomfort in your spirit or emotions. So be patient, because it happens over time. A gradual reveal or understanding, revelation or understanding, not usually a single moment. Remember, like Samuel, it takes practice. I have not apprehended. I'm just like all of you. I'm just trying to hear from God more. And some of that is creating space. And some of that is turning away. But I want to hear God in my life. Because he wants to hear from me. And he wants to speak to me. And why would I waste that? Why would I just say, hey, I'll hear God when the YouTube's on or when my pastor's speaking? We're past that, church. We get to hear God for ourselves. Let's stand. So what do we do? What do you do? I'm not asking you. I'm going to give you an answer. First thing you got to do is just start. Just start. I know that's generic. Start creating space in your life for a conversational relationship with God. Making prayer and reading his word and listening to God a priority. Because I'll tell you, as much as I have listened to the Bible while I'm driving down the road, and that counts because I can check off the box in my reading plan on the app, you're not going to do no Lectio Divina while you're reading the while you're driving down the road. It's when you can sit in silence and contemplate. Start creating space. Start some sort of reading plan. I don't care how big it is, how long it is, with some focused time for meditating on God's word. When service ends, she'll put that back on the screen. You can take a picture with your phone. So start creating space. Start some sort of Bible-focused reading plan. Third, I recommend journaling. I recommend it. You don't need to go to the store and buy a $200 journal from Amazon. You can get a notebook. Okay, you could do it in your phone if you want to use OneNote or Evernote or something like that, or Apple Notes. But after you read a passage of God's word, or when you feel a block in your life or a nagging in your mind, start journaling and pray as you're journaling. Lastly, start talking to your spouse or your children or your parents or your friends about what you think you're hearing. So first, we're going to start. Start creating space. Start some sort of Bible reading plan. Journal if you're able to, and talk to people about what you're hearing. And when you do start to hear something, when you start to say, this is what I think God's telling me, pray for confirmation and then act on it. Because he's not just telling you something for you to hear it. He's telling you something for you to do something. Maybe he's telling you to forgive someone. Maybe he's telling you, hey, there's this thing in your life I want to change, Brother Peter. This mindset is wrong. Maybe he's saying, hey, I'm calling you over to this ministry. I want you to help with this daughter work. I want you to teach this Sunday school class. But we've been distracted. And so when you start to hear what God has on your heart, it's okay to take some time, but act on it. And so tonight, I don't know, I think it's awkward having an altar call because you're not going to do all this tonight. But maybe tonight is the start where you come to God and say, God, okay, I want to have a conversational relationship with you. I now believe that you want to talk to me personally, and I want to hear your voice. Help me, guide me, lead me. Let's take some time tonight to pray.
Lord, will you come?